And away we go on this Tuesday morning, March the 17th, 2020, 12 minutes past the hour, on this elongated version of the Now program today, which will run through 11 a.m. this morning. Now, here is the thing. Normally, we would be saying this is presidential primary day in Ohio, but after yesterday, I think it's safe to say at this particular point that it is not presidential primary day in Ohio. If you haven't been keeping up with it, here's what happened yesterday in kind of a tin-type fashion. Governor Mike DeWine, after saying it was okay to vote up until 2 o'clock yesterday, decided that because of the coronavirus that we should not go out and vote yesterday, but he did not have the power to stop the vote. So, as of 2 o'clock yesterday, he filed a lawsuit in Franklin County to stop the vote. Now, very quickly, the case was heard by a Judge Fry, I believe was his name, around 6 o'clock last night, in regard to canceling the election today. Judge Fry said you cannot cancel the election. He overruled the governor. So the election was back on last night as of 6:30. Then around 10 o'clock last night, the governor and Dr. Akon, I'm not sure how you say her name, who comes on television with him every day, says that she, along with the health departments, has says it's a risk to your health to vote today. So they have overruled the judge, and the polling places are closed. And as far as I understand it, I haven't been to the polling places this morning, but I believe they are closed. You cannot go out and vote today. Now, will we vote in June? I don't think that's been sorted out yet because of the judge's decree that you weren't supposed to postpone the election. What happens when you postpone a judge's order? I don't know. I think we'll probably find out today. And that's the story at this point. So we aren't voting today. What will that do in the presidential primary on the Democratic side? What will that do to some of the big primaries that we had in this area? I know there was a primary on the Democratic side for the Jim Jordan seat here in Ohio. I know there's the big primary but Republican between Reinicke and Atkinson, which has gotten a whole lot of attention. And it's no more today, and maybe could be pushed off until June. And just to give you the daily coronavirus update, as many of you know, schools are closed through at least April the 2nd, and according to the governor, possibly for the rest of the year, although that's not a given yet, but at least through April the 6th. Colleges are closed. Nursing homes, if you have a loved one in a nursing home, you will not be permitted to go into the nursing home to see them, no matter what their condition at this particular point. Psychiatric hospitals are on lockdown just the same. Grocery stores are still open, but their hours are adjusting. So call ahead because the hours are different than what they have been. We no longer have 24-hour grocery stores. They're closing overnight to restock the shelves. Water, milk, bread, toilet paper, they're all running in short supply. So if you're going to get those items, you might want to come up with a plan B to drink or eat or use something else at this particular point. Bars and restaurants are closed as of Sunday night. You can get carry out at your favorite restaurant, but that is it. Now, drive-through windows are still open, so you can still go to your favorite fast food place. I believe pizza places are still up and running because it's delivery, but if it's a sit-down restaurant and it doesn't have a drive-through window, that's not going to happen. It's carry-out only, but a lot of those places are open, remember that, so you can call them and get carry out. So try to do that if you want their food. Also, the unemployment laws have changed in Ohio as of yesterday due to executive order. There is no longer a 1 week waiting period for unemployment, and you can now get unemployment for things you could not before because of the bars and restaurants and schools and everything closing. So if you think you might be entitled to unemployment and you're not working right now, what's the worst they can do? Say no. Go online and apply for unemployment at this point if you don't have any money, because rent's going to be due here in about 13 days. We think they're trying to talk about things like that. Yesterday, Senator Mitt Romney went on television and said he thought every adult in the United States should have $1,000 during this crisis. We don't know where that's going to go, but that made news. Yesterday, the governor closed the gyms and the movie theaters. So pretty well the only things left running normally at this particular point are the grocery stores, the pharmacies, and the box stores are still open. But for how long, we don't know. I'm sure there'll be another press conference at 2 o'clock today. Now, because this was primary day, we invited one of our favorite people in, regular guest here, 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow, and she will be here for the duration, even though we are not going to vote today in Ohio. But there certainly is a lot of other stuff to talk about, so I'm sure we'll be able to fill the time this morning. We welcome to the microphones, pleasurely, as we always do, 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. Mary Ellen, what a few days.
Isn't that right? I tell you, it's been unusual, to say the least.
You have been, obviously, participated in, been a candidate for many election days.
Yes.
Where does this election day rank in the history of election days?
It's probably the most unusual of any I've ever heard of.
Yesterday, the chronology of this, the governor had said up until yesterday that voting was still going to happen. Says he, 2 o'clock during the press conference, says he doesn't think that's a good idea. He doesn't have the power to stop it. Filed the case. The judge said, no, we need to go on and vote. And then the health department shuts them down. Obviously, neither of us are lawyers, but does that sound legal at this point?
No. I never knew you could say no to a judge. You know,
yeah.
That is the most unusual thing I've ever heard of. And what's the result? You know, what's going to happen as a result of that?
Well, what I couldn't figure out yesterday was we've known about this coronavirus being somewhat serious since Thursday. That's when the nursing homes went on lockdown. That's when the schools canceled. Why did we wait until 18 hours before the polls open to try to close them?
Well, I think it just kept getting more and more serious, everybody talking about it, and it just revved everything up.
Do you think it is a health risk to go to the polls, knowing what we know now?
Well, anywhere you go is probably a risk. You don't know, but there have been no problems here in Marion, but of course this is for the state of Ohio, and we do have, how many do we have in the state of Ohio, 8 or 9 or something like that?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and probably, you know, there's maybe more than that we don't know about, but it's such a strange thing to have this happen because we've never experienced it before.
Well, this is interesting because, as I was saying to somebody, whether you are 100 years old or you are 20 years old, in the last century, there has never been anything like this.
No. You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of in the Second World War, when we had rationing and the government was telling us what to do. And I can't remember a situation since then where the government has been telling us what to do that was unusual. And, in fact, yesterday I found a rationing book, and I was going through some things, and I remembered we were supposed to save tin cans and waste fats. And I can remember my mother, when she'd fry bacon, she would save the grease. And I don't know what they were using it for, but it says they're needed to make essential supplies for the battle fronts and the home front. And you should cooperate with your local salvage committee. I wonder if they still have that.
You know, I don't know. I know that we have Sims Brothers here in Marion, but I don't know if that'd be considered a salvage community or not.
Committee.
Yeah.
That would be government.
Government. Yeah. If we do, I haven't heard of it.
It's probably under a different name.
Probably.
You know, they changed the names of a of a lot of things. Since I've left federal government, they've changed names on, well, public debt's no longer there. I think they thought it sounded bad.
The wording sometimes is not so good.
Right.
It's what is it, a few years ago when I remember the drastic change when food stamps became the food card.
Mm-hmm.
It became a different thing.
Yes.
Because the word became such a bad stigma.
Right.
It's what have you made of the world since last Thursday when this really amped up?
Well, I'll tell you, my world has really changed because my husband is in a nursing home and I can't go see him. And it's really been very difficult from that standpoint. So, you know, and other people have the same problem. That's something I really never thought would happen.
Well, this is interesting, and I would love to talk about this point, certainly in regard to your husband, but also in regard to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think people understand that it doesn't matter at this point what condition your loved one is in that nursing home. You will not get in.
That's right. Yeah.
That's serious.
Yeah.
Because people in nursing homes are usually not well, and God forbid they would go during this. Would they let you in? Would they tell you that they were going? Would they take him to the? I don't know.
Oh, they would let you know what where he is. They would let me know what was going on, but the thing is, you can't see them, and he can't hear very good. To talk to him on the phone, it's very difficult. So it and he's on hospice, so it makes it really hard.
I wonder when that happens for somebody, because it's bound to happen. We have a lot of nursing homes here in Marion. Somebody's going to pass away, and just from whatever their ailment is, not coronavirus. You're right. I assume they'll call and say that something's going on, but will you be able to see them then? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I would hope so. I would hope something could be done. I don't know. If they took him to the hospital, would that be the option? I don't know.
Well, you could see them in the hospital, I think, couldn't you?
I think you could.
Yeah, that would be the difference. And maybe that's the solution.
There better be a solution coming up.
Yeah.
Because heaven forbid that did happen to somebody. And also, I feel bad for these people in the nursing home because they live for visits.
That's right. And, you know, they can no longer be together at lunch and breakfast and dinner, which makes it hard for them, too, because that was, a break for them, really. And so it's just difficult all the way around.
And entertainment. A lot of them have entertainment from outside that would come in.
Yeah, they don't come in anymore.
And they don't come in anymore.
No.
And what worries me about that, as well as with the schools, is that how long is it going to go?
Right. If it goes to, think of it, goes till August, like the president said yesterday. What if it goes till August?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I really don't know.
Yeah.
I do know that, I'm going to ask this like I asked it of Charlie, who's still coming in to the station as of last week, still will be in tomorrow. But the age group that you would be in, Mary Ellen, what are you precautious during this time? Does it bother you what's going on? Are you taking different measures than you normally would when you go out in society?
Well, I stay home a lot more.
Yeah.
And we can't go over to our meals at Primrose. They bring our meals to us, which is different.
Isn't that something?
Yes. No, there's nothing. We can't attend anything at Primrose because I live in a villa. Everybody in Primrose stays in Primrose, and I can still go in my car if I, you know, I can go to the grocery store and go see my family, but the people in Primrose can't.
I was reading a story the other day about how, a very well and healthy person who just happens to be in that age category that's the risk category was still going on with their daily life. And then their kids said, Mom, you really got to be more careful. Mm-hmm. Stop. Stay home. Has your family said anything to you at this point as far as this?
No. They don't try to tell me what to do. But I try to take care of myself.
It is a very strange time. And do you fully, because I don't know if people do you fully understand what the coronavirus is at
no,
this point?
No, I don't understand it. It sounds like, you know, the flu to me, but I know that it's got to be addressed in a different way because it's different, but it sounds similar. You know, it sounds like breathing is a problem, and I don't know. Is it all respiratory? I don't know that.
I know that that's the fear, that it has a very awful respiratory component. And mm-hmm. I think the two things that are bad about it, number one, we really don't have a way to treat it right now. So if you get it, it's hard to treat. And the other problem is, well, and maybe it's not a problem, is you actually have to come in contact with somebody. It is a viral disease. It's not bacterial. So that's what this quarantining is all about, trying to keep people away from people.
But I guess the germ can live on hard surfaces. Isn't that correct?
I think so.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I know. And you don't know if you're a carrier, because the only way to get tested at this point, your doctor has to recommend it.
Yeah.
You can't just walk into the hospital and say, test me.
Yeah, I've had my temperature taken more in the last few days than ever, I think.
They call it a pandemic right now. I don't know that we've ever had a pandemic in the United States.
You know, they gave this woman a serum yesterday, and I think she was in Washington State, and it sounded like she had to have another one in about a month. And they kept saying they wouldn't have that until a long time away. And all of a sudden, they've got a serum what's the right word for that?
Vaccine?
Is it a vaccine? Yeah. And so it's kind of strange. I think some company has come up with a vaccine all of a sudden.
Do you think that the hysteria that we have been under is warranted? Do you think people should be in this much of a panic?
Well, I don't know. I think the governor's trying to protect everybody. I think that's his objective. And I give him credit for that. They're trying to be cautious, and I appreciate that.
These 2 o'clock press conferences that have been going on since, I believe, last Tuesday, do you think that makes people, does that help? Certainly they're trying to get the information out, but also does it panic people?
I think it's helping to stir everything up more and more. I've been watching HGTV and kind of avoiding that because I just didn't want to watch it all the time. And it's on. It seems like it's on all the time.
And people are watching.
Yeah.
And I wanted to talk to you about some things because I believe that one of the problems with this whole mess is going to be financial.
Yes, right. That's the bottom line.
That is the bottom line.
Everything goes back to money.
And no matter what happens with this illness, whether people do die or not, whether or not the numbers get larger, whether or not it takes till August, we don't know. But what's going to happen? We're only 6 days in this. It seems like we've been in it a long time.
Forever.
So when we get to the first paycheck in 2 weeks, where some people aren't going to get a paycheck who normally would, what happens then?
Yes, it's going to be bad. Yeah.
Do you think at this point, because I don't know the answer to this when it comes to government, Ohio's in a state of emergency. The United States is in a state of emergency. Can a landlord, could they kick you out in that time if you didn't pay rent?
No, I don't know. I don't know what they can do, but because I think this is different, and there's going to be some situations we're going to hear about, and I think that there'll have to be some leniency.
I would think so, because to remove somebody from their house, you would have to, I believe, file an eviction. And I'm not sure at this point if a judge would decree to do that in the middle of a pandemic.
And there's a time factor there, too, on evicting somebody. You can't just do it overnight. It has to be, isn't it about a three-month situation?
Yeah, it's not quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's one of those unprecedented times. And, you know, we use that word sometimes a lot. But really, this is unprecedented.
It is, really.
If it goes to August, what do you think we're going to be like? It hasn't even been a week now.
We're going to be a different group of people.
Yeah, we certainly are.
I don't know what we'll be like, but we'll be different.
What the small businesses, I think a lot about them when the bars and the restaurants had to close.
Right.
What impact is that going to have?
Oh, it's a tremendous impact. Yeah. In all different ways. I mean, you know, they'll go out of business probably, and it's a shame because small business is very vulnerable. Your big corporations can take care of themselves, but your small business is very vulnerable to something like this. I remember that's the reason I created Link Deposits when I was state treasurer, because it was helping the small business, because that's your backbone of your society.
If you are working in one of these places and they tell you not to come to work, I wonder, do you say, I need to look for another job, or do you wait it out?
Right.
Because you're not fired at this point.
No.
It's just the place isn't open.
No. I heard, you know, I was in a store the other day, and I heard them say, well, we're going to miss you. Get some rest. And I figured that's what was happening.
Well, and even in this carryout situation, and I can't say that this is happening everywhere, but I did hear yesterday from one of the restaurants in Marion that they're working with a skeleton crew.
The carryout?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So even though they are doing carryout, they are not staffing like they normally would.
You know, that might be a thing that people could do at Kroger's. They could have the, you know, pick up their groceries, do it that way, and it'd be a little safer. Probably be a little easier because there's been some big crowds in the grocery store.
And not stopping.
No.
And this is a question I never thought in my life I would be asking anybody, but what is with the toilet paper?
I don't know. I saw people carrying out they can get three packages of toilet paper at once now. And it's just, I think, a fetish with everybody.
I saw a psychiatrist yesterday on television talking about this, and she told me, or she told the audience, and what I took from it was that the toilet, because they kept saying, okay, food we get, we understand, you know, bread and milk, but why toilet paper?
I know. The other day, I was in Kroger's, and that paper aisle was darn near nothing.
Wiped out.
Yes. Totally wiped out. And I thought, my gosh, what happened here? But then they've probably been getting it back in there.
Well, I was at Kroger on Sunday night when a shipment came in of toilet paper. And I mean, you would have thought they had gold bricks back there in the aisle.
Right.
It's strange.
Yes.
It's strange. But the psychiatrist said that the toilet paper thing is about control.
Oh.
That it's people feel like they're not in control of their lives right now. And that's something they can control. I don't know if that's the answer or not, but sounded good, I guess, at the time.
Yeah.
I don't... That's going to be something, when this time's looked back on, that people are going to say, what was that all about?
I think we're all going to start listening to Dr. Phil more than we have.
That's right. I do. You know, that we've always said... In recent years, much like World War II, how would the United States deal with a real crisis? Well, honestly, how do you think we're doing?
Yeah, not very good.
No.
I mean, we're adjusting. It's an adjustment, and we should be willing to accept orders, which some people aren't willing to do that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I will say this, and this is not a because at this point, no matter our politics, I believe we should try not to criticize the people who are doing whatever they're doing.
Right.
So this is not a criticism of the governor, but are they really allowed to do what they're doing? Can they shut down restaurants, private businesses? Can they? I don't know. The college is shut down first, and the colleges did it on their own accord. Nobody ordered them to do it.
Okay.
So does a government, a state government, have the power to shut down a private business?
You know, I was thinking about this yesterday. There's the Governor's Association. There's a State Treasurer's Association. All of the state offices have associations where they talk to one another. And I think they've been talking about this to one another and deciding to do things and in uniform, really, pretty much, because a lot of the governors have been doing the same thing. And I hadn't really thought in the terms of the associations before, but it's situations like this where they do get together and make decisions, and it's a protection to them that other people are doing the same thing.
Well, what's interesting to me is if you are a private business, I guess the big thing is it's the consumer's choice to go in or not. And they know what's going on, mm-hmm. So it would be enter at your own risk. So I don't know if legality-wise you really are allowed to do that as a government. I don't know. I really don't know. I think some lawyer will have to look at this at some point. I'm sure that some bar and... today's St. Patrick's Day. There'll be no green beer today.
That's right.
That's a big day for bars.
It is a big day. Yeah. And probably one of the biggest.
Probably the biggest,
yeah,
you're right.
Yeah, like New Year's Eve and St. Patrick's Day, they're in the same category.
But it's no talk of it today.
No.
Nobody's out wearing green.
No, I didn't even wear green today because, well, I'm not Irish, so.
But it became a forgotten thing.
Yes.
Because we're in the middle of this.
That's right.
And so has the election at this point. Become a forgotten thing. Now, if we do push it out to June, if that's what happens, what repercussion do you think that's going to have? What about levies? I was thinking about levies. Do they now just have to wait?
Was there a levy on the ballot?
I think the MRDD had a levy.
Is that right?
I think.
Yeah.
Here locally.
Yeah. Well, you think about the people running for office and their advertising, the race for Jim Jordan's seat. There were three people running, and of course the presidential too. I mean, they have based their advertising on a certain deadline for this, and that's going to just throw that out the window, you know.
What I'm interested to see, because I do believe, and if I'm wrong, somebody will let me know, but I do believe Ohio was the first to do this.
Were they, really?
I think so, because I don't think the last round of primaries anybody had canceled their primary.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh. And I don't know that anybody, because today is technically what they call Super Tuesday.
Yeah.
I don't know that anybody else has.
And we don't have very many people with the illness compared to some of the states, which, you know, Washington and New York City and, I guess, California.
Right.
Yeah.
So I don't, I know it was the lead story on a lot of the national news this morning that Ohio had canceled their primary. Yeah.
Oh, really?
And if some other state has, like I say, somebody will let me know, but I don't think they have. So
I think there was somebody else.
Was there another state?
I think I heard something this morning. There was one, I think there was one other one, and I can't tell you who it was. But there was three states that were going to have theirs, and I think that Ohio and somebody else had canceled.
What do you think this does when we push it out to June, let's say for the presidential primary, which is just right now Bernie and Biden.
Yes, right.
Does that mean Bernie hangs in longer? Who's running behind now? I don't know what it means.
Well, I think that it's going to be very difficult for Biden to hold his momentum, because when you have a momentum going the way that he did, this is going to be very difficult.
And right now, no campaign rallies?
No, that's right.
The things that they normally do.
Right.
And what did the president, we went from 100 people to 50 people. Is it down to 10 now, is what I hear, that the groups of 10?
Yes, it is 10. That's 10. Not very many people.
No. And I think that's what did the gyms and the movie theaters and all those places in.
Right.
Well, 10 people, that's not a lot.
No.
That pretty well takes care of just about every place, but yet I don't think they can close the grocery stores because people have to get food.
You have to get food.
Get food.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that will do to the grocery store. It's a strange time, and it's and we say that, and one of the reasons we're saying that so often is because we don't know the answers.
That's right. You haven't experienced it before, so you don't know what's going to happen.
Right. And I don't know in the end what the numbers on this are going to look like, but you know, you have to expect that right now they're going to go up because we're at the start of it.
Mm-hmm.
But when they go up, that frightens people.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
How much, forgetting the medical part of it, how much has the fear part of it played into this?
Oh, probably about 90%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think drives that, the fear of it?
Well, you're afraid to die, and that's the bottom line.
Well,
although let's forget that.
Well, it's interesting because the theories have always been over the years that the number one fear is public speaking, and the number two fear is death.
Yeah.
So people are scared of it.
Well, I tell you, when I first started public speaking, I was scared to death. But as it went on, it doesn't bother me anymore.
You get over it.
Yeah, you get over it.
After a while.
Yeah, right.
I really don't know. It is the fear, because people have died in the United States from this, but I still think it's been pretty much elderly people or people who've had a pre-existing condition. It's not been well people. And it's also my understanding that you can get this, and sometimes it doesn't turn into anything awful. It's just symptoms.
Mm-hmm. Yes, right. It's just a bad cold or something, or, you know, as they say, asthma is, if you have asthma, it's hard on you.
I don't think I said this on the air, but maybe it's worth saying on the air that in China, these are not the numbers China gave us, these are the actual numbers, that 80,000 people had it, but 65,000 are already recovered and back to work.
Mm-hmm.
That's more than half.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not killing everybody. I would love, I don't know what the percentages are right now, and I wish they would stop comparing us to Italy. I keep seeing that.
I do
think our hospitals are a little better than Italy.
Well, I don't know. I would hope so.
well, it's one thing this is doing is giving the hospitals time to prepare.
Yeah, right. And you know, as they say, the hospitals are full. And they're putting up tents. I heard them say they were putting up tents. I don't know where this was, but I don't know that I'd want to be in a tent in a hospital situation. I hope this was a warm weather state. And it's just wild what's going on. Well, at least Marion General is building one, but I don't think they're done yet.
No, you know, I have not been to the hospital since this all happened, but I wonder, you know, the employees there who are not medical, like the people who check you in, the people who take you back, the people who work in the office. I wonder how they're feeling right now.
Yes, right. Well, they're probably afraid they're going to get the disease.
Well, and you know, I would say that eventually we're going to have a case in Marion. I think it's just it's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
When that happens, what's it going to be like? Will it cause mass panic? I don't know.
Mm. Well,
hope not.
We hope not, right.
We hope not.
Yeah.
I want to come back to the election here because it is primary day, even though we're not doing it. We haven't talked since the Democratic field really narrowed down.
Yeah, right.
Why do you think it finally came down to Bernie and Biden? What caused all the others? Why are these the two guys?
Well, they realized that Biden had the momentum, and you know, it was so fascinating to me that he did this without money, and that tells you that it isn't always money. You know, they used to tell me you've gotta have money, and I used to say it's gotta be more than that. And I think that I watched the debate the other night, and Joe Biden looked so presidential, and Bernie certainly did not. I said, if I was in charge of Bernie, I think I'd tie his hands behind his back when he went out to speak, because it just doesn't add anything to what he's saying, and he's in such a habit that he can't break it. And it just doesn't look good for his delivery, but he's so used to doing it, he can't quit.
Is there something to be said, because this has been in the media, that the last two standing in the Democratic primary after, I think at one point there were 36 people in, something like that, are two white men over 75?
Mm-hmm.
How did that happen?
Well, one of them is going to have a woman as their vice president.
He did.
That's a real step in the right direction.
Biden did say that, yes. Do you think he had to do that, or is that just a decision?
Well, I don't know. I think that it was a good thing to say, and I think he will do it. So we'll see what happens.
Do you think, because the talk has been, I believe the three people they're talking most about are Kamala Harris, Amy Klobuchar, and this Stacey Abrams. Now, two of them were on the stage with Biden, and Harris and Klobuchar took some good shots at Biden during the debate, especially Harris. Do you think any of those three, who would you like to be the vice
Kamala
president?
Kamala Harris.
Kamala.
Yeah.
Do you think after those shots she took at Joe about busing and so on and so forth, do you think it could work?
Yeah, didn't matter to him. It mattered at the time, but he's over that.
Do you think the Trump campaign would use that as a...
Oh, probably.
Yeah.
But I don't think... I don't think that would have much of an effect. I could be wrong. Everything I say isn't correct. It doesn't turn out. But I think that what Joe said the other night was a big plus.
Insiders have said, and certainly you would have a better take on this than I would, and I thought this was fascinating, that if Biden gets the nomination, if he chooses a woman, which he says he will, as his vice presidential candidate, that Trump would dump Pence for Nikki Haley.
It could happen.
You think that could happen?
Oh, yes. And Trump doesn't have any loyalty to anybody.
Do you think with Pence being in charge of this coronavirus thing that would be a wise thing to do at that point?
Probably not, but I don't think that matters to Trump.
Would Nikki Haley be the viable Republican woman that you should, if you were a Republican and you needed a vice presidential candidate to be a woman, would she be the one?
Probably.
Do you think that would make it more difficult for Biden to win?
Yes.
Why is she so popular?
Well, she did a good job at the United Nations. She stood up to Trump, but then she's really a Trumpy too. I mean, you know, I don't know. She was probably. She's the most interesting Republican woman I can think of.
What do you think overall this coronavirus and what's happening with the economy will play into how people think of Trump, because before this, he was riding pretty high.
He was. I think we'll see some drops in his numbers. I haven't heard anything yet, but I'm sure we will. Before long, we'll see some drop in his numbers, I'll bet.
If he gets through this as a person who handled it well, is that bad news for the Democrats?
Well, yes, probably. He hasn't handled anything very well, I would add.
What do you think his responses to this have been? How would you rate them?
Oh, he was terrible. He didn't. The last thing he did yesterday, he was pretty good. But before that, he wouldn't acknowledge that this was serious, and it was part of the problem with the stock market, the way he was reacting.
Do we know what happened? How did this start? Because in January, we did know this was a thing.
Yeah.
What happened between January and March that we didn't... Was there anything we could have done to stop this?
Well, I think we could have ordered some things that were needed in the medical field that we don't have. I mean, they've got shortages of things, and the testing, that was very important, that we have the testing. I guess that was refused by somebody, I'm not sure. And so those things added to us just ignoring, really, what was going to happen, or whoever was in charge was ignoring what was going to happen here.
Do you think that we are being overly cautious or underly cautious?
Well, I don't know. I'm just glad they're doing what they're doing to try to safeguard everybody.
Do you think, is this the thing? Is this, because yesterday I did see an article that said that Governor DeWine is the model right now for other governors of how to handle this.
Mm-hmm. Well, that could be.
I don't know, because I haven't really heard anybody else on that level really speaking to how he's handling it.
Yes, right. Well, I think time will tell, you know, how well he's handled this, but right now it's hard to judge.
Do you think it's good that a man like DeWine, even though obviously I'm sure he's not your pick for governor.
No, he wasn't.
That there is a person in there who is of a certain age, who has been involved in government for a long time, is that a good thing?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you think this would be much harder for a novice to handle?
You know, I ran against my first race after school board was against somebody that said, there's nothing like experience. And, you know, that's true.
Well, it's interesting because when we look at the presidential election, you have President Trump, who's in his early 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And on the Democratic side, you're going to have somebody who's over 75, mm-hmm. either way we go.
Yeah.
Is that good for the country, that you're going to have a mature person in the office? Whoever we elect is going to be the oldest person ever elected.
Yes, true, and it's ended up that way. But and the people made their choices, and so there we are.
Do you think that Biden is strong enough to beat Trump?
Oh, yes, I think he is, yes.
Would Bernie be?
I don't think so.
What do you think Bernie's chances are at this point after Michigan and Saturday's primaries?
Not good. I mean, I can just hear Trump calling him a socialist, and it would be nothing but socialist going on out there, and it would be constant socialist, socialist, socialist. And I think that's what we would be dealing with if Bernie were the one. But I don't think he's going to make it.
What do you think happened to his momentum after New Hampshire and Iowa?
People realized that he couldn't beat Trump. The Democrats realized that, and they all banded behind Joe Biden.
What did you make of that? After Biden won South Carolina and people got out immediately, Buttigieg, Klobuchar, Booker, all endorse.
Right.
I've never seen that before. Well, so quick.
I don't know who talked to who behind the scenes, because there might have been a lot of that going on. But and I think it did. But when the public realized what was happening, they decided to vote for one person, and it was Joe Biden.
Even though I would probably say that President Trump, he brings out very strong emotions in a lot of people.
Yes, right.
People who like him and people who don't like him. During a time like this, do we need to stop criticizing him in certain ways and say, this is the president, we're in a pandemic, let's hope he can do the best he can do?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you should honor the presidency, but he's made it awfully hard, I'll tell you.
Is this the thing that for 3 years people talked about? Because I've always heard, you know, heaven forbid during this presidency there would be something awful happen.
No, right.
And now we have the most awful thing that's ever happened.
Mm-hmm.
How do you think somebody else would be dealing with this? It would be hard for anybody, I think.
Oh, it would. It would be a terrible thing to be in. But first of all, you would acknowledge what everyone was telling you, that the experts are telling you, which Trump does not listen to anybody until it was actually too late. And that's with everything. He didn't believe his people that were his security people, and he didn't believe the courts. He didn't believe anybody that was of value to help him be a good president. I mean, he just thought he knew it all, and he doesn't.
What do you think, the group that likes Trump, and they call it the 30%, what is that group? Who are they?
I don't know.
It's interesting.
Yeah, it is.
Because I've never seen a president, and tell me if you have in your lifetime, I've never seen a president who had that, presidents have always had followers, and some have had larger followers than Trump, but that they would follow him into a burning building.
Right.
I've never seen loyalty like that to a president.
I know. It's very unusual.
We're going to talk about a lot of things. Mary Ellen's going to be with us for the morning. We do have some special guests, I believe, calling in. But you know what? I don't really know anymore. So I'm not announcing anything, because with it not being Election Day, if they call, we'll take the call. If they don't, Mary Ellen and I will talk. We certainly can do that. But I want to talk to Mary Ellen because, as we know, Mary Ellen served under Bill Clinton. And there's an interesting documentary out right now on Hillary Clinton, where Bill Clinton, for the first time, talks about the Monica Lewinsky incident.
I didn't know that.
We'll talk about that.
Okay.
When we come back. You'll have to watch. We have some free time. You'll have to watch this documentary on Hillary.
Okay.
Very well done, I guess.
When did this happen?
I think it came out last week. It's on one of those streaming services.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I'll tell you about it during the break.
Okay.
But we'll come back. Mary Ellen Withrow's the guest on what was supposed to be primary day, but don't go out and vote because it's not much more information. And maybe a guest. Who knows? Right around the corner. Don't go anywhere. Where the president is buried is Jim Blessing, the grandson of President Warren G. Harding and Nan Britton. I can't tell you how happy that you are joining us today via the airwaves.